Hello and welcome to another episode of For Filth. I'm here with all of my co-hosts today. Can we all say what's up?
That was one of the most official entrances, intros.
Look, I'm not gay today, at least for another couple of minutes. Okay, we need to back up off the mic for the audience, please.
I'm just saying gold, wealth, diamonds, power, first class private planes. I'm back. It's so nice to be back here.
Oh my god.
It's giving like comedy special? Is that what we're giving?
The past couple of episodes I've been listening to, they've been kind of comedic, but y'all miss me. I know you do.
Oh, wow.
It's honestly been kind of unhinged, because if me and Julio just keep bouncing off each other, we never get grounded enough. keep going for 2 hours, we're like, okay, so one long gag reel.
You're going to jail not only for the title today, but also for the black magic and the comb leaving in two separate bags from the crime scene. I just think you both deserve fully to be recasted in this role right now. Very WandaVision-esque, like, I just want to snap my fingers and put y'all bitches... You know what Wanda said?
No. Yeah! She said no, bitch.
The thing is, the way that was so many people's actual brain thought processes, like, at work on the screen, actual dissonance and conflict and, like, logical information to conflict the way I'm feeling about this situation? No. Edit.
Not interested. I think WandaVision, we'll talk about WandaVision soon, but I definitely want to come in with my sabbatical updates. Hello, audience. I wish you could see the camera, because, like, I'm not gonna lie, these teeth are teething, and I just look so good. Like, oh my god,
I'm mad that her leaving the group chat for a couple weeks is what all that she needed.
Oh, bitch, she came back in skin.
She came back with a vengeance.
She said, start the microderm abrasion.
It's funny you say that, because this morning I had a dermatology appointment. I did some injections, and I feel good today.
I don't like this.
I'm just saying.
I hate that this is what the budget of the show goes to, y'all. Just so y'all know. It's not new mics.
It sure is not new mics, bitch. It sure is a new mics, bitch.
The mics are still hot as shit, but you know what? Injections.
The budget, you know what I was injected? Happiness was injected to me. I feel very good right now. You're going to be getting a totally different energy from me. Things have been so nice since I took my break. Honestly, between the time that we stopped and now, I've had like a glow up in terms of career. I'm moving to New York City. I am very happy with my job at the moment. I think I'm feeling like, overall, I feel much more... at home in myself now, and like, we're back in the gym. The girls are really like, we're not doing the diet yet, but you know,
is that a chest separation I'm seeing through the camera, girl? Is that a little bit of a deltoid?
Okay,
well,
a
not
clavicle,
really.
Sis?
You know, if Subway does have clavicles, then yeah, sure. Just like you said in the episode previously, I do too roll over and ask Uber Eats my Ubers or whatever. So yes, but things are great. Things are honestly on the up and up, so I'm very happy at the moment. If only I can find me a Gavriel and everything else works out.
Okay. Congratulations.
Period.
Congratulations. We're so happy to have you back.
Yeah. How are you both at the moment?
Girl. You know, ladies first, Caputo.
She's verse, so it's Zer now.
Right, right. Get it the fuck right, bitch.
I'm mad she's on our side of the fucking table. Yes.
Stop.
Let's go.
I'm good. I was just in New York, so I was definitely on a bit of a high a couple weeks ago. It was good to see, like, my family and, like, work up there. I was actually there for a whole week, so I just, like, was working and, like, exploring around. And, like, ever since I came back, I've been on this, like, interesting kind of, like, energy where I feel a lot of things changing. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the universe is sending me a lot of signs about, like, where I'm gonna be and where I should end up and where my next moves should go. Not necessarily, like, moving, but, like, just in general. So I've been taking this week to kind of process all of those emotions and thoughts, and it's been very good. And now I'm hooked onto this damn boys love show where I am emotionally vulnerable. So Gabriel, call me.
Wow.
Those things leave you so raw. Like, they open your ass up.
Yes.
It's just like, damn, like, this is so cute, like, watching, like, an online moment happen, like a little, like, courting happen in front of me. And I was like, oh, like, it was just tugging on the heartstrings. For everyone in the audience, I'm talking about this show on, is it on Netflix now too?
It is, yes, on it Netflix is. Now, but I was, you watching know, it on, diversifying. Yeah,
right, I was watching it on YouTube, and it's called, what, Gamer Boys?
Game Boys.
Very cute, about, like, obviously, like, pandemic era times, and essentially the whole show is filmed, quote-unquote, on, like, video chat, and, well, at least from what I've seen so far, and it's just about these two boys that are, like, kind of feeling each other out, courting each other in a relationship, and it's just really adorable, and I can't. It's too cute, so I love it.
Yeah. I will say that, like, when it comes to boys love shit, you know, boys love definitely is the poppers of the heart. It does open you up a bit and helps you to basically touch emotions you haven't in a long time. And I'll be honest, like, during my sabbatical, and also my therapy, I did realize, based on my advice, that I was quite numb for a couple of years, just emotionally. And I had quite a breakthrough recently where I've been crying, like, 4 times a day for the past, like, 3 weeks. And it's been great because the shows I've been watching, like, Game Boys, I introduced Caputo and Julio to. And then, of course, they have Hello Stranger, which is a wonderful, wonderful show. And then the show I'm saving in my back pocket to put Caputo back in therapy is Gaia Sa Película. Oh, that is, like... Oh, there's just some people and some storylines that I cannot wait to introduce people to. And Hello Stranger is just so great because it's also a COVID pandemic style show. But I think it's just a bit, there's less funny and more emotions to it. And I would recommend Hello Stranger, Gaia Sa Película, and Game Boys to just about anyone entering the boys love genre, like romantic kind of shit that I stan, to everyone. Before I would have cried, because I was going to mention something, but I'm probably going to keep it. It pertains to Julio, but I was, like, looking at all the, like, new relationships and stuff, and I, like, me thinking about Julio and XYZ person, I was like, you don't understand. I was sitting up here in my bed crying because I was like, oh, there's, like, happiness going on in, like, all these people's lives, and I am so happy for them. And it's,
imagine spilling people's tea right now.
I'm so sorry. Ooh. I don't know, it's just, it's nice with to, like, that see said, people happy.
With that said, I agree. I actually have been really happy too. I think there's been a lot of personal breakthrough, not just in the romantic arena, but also in just, like, business and personal life, and just, like, even similarly to you, Dolce, I wasn't exactly, I think, as severely maybe upset about certain things, but I definitely have seen some improvement in forward movement in the emotional areas of my life, in relationships, not just romantic, but also, like, familial, platonic, and all that. So a lot of good things happening. And I also think it's super important to talk about how, like you said, like, BL or boys love is, like, poppers for the heart. I think that's annoying and like really gay and stupid to say, but I also agree with you because I feel like it feels sort of like the whole representation matters hashtag crowd, but like it really does matter to see people, especially young people, just actually talking to each other and loving and being considerate and courting and doing all the normal sort of shit that like I would have wanted to do at that age, you know? So there's something really freeing about seeing that happen and for it to be sort of like normal and obviously cool and okay. Because that wasn't always the storyline. And so
that's so real.
Even now, as I like move forward as an adult, I'm very much like looking at these things and just feeling like, oh, like, yeah, go off. Like, it's possible, you know?
I had a moment of like disdain at first when it was first becoming a normal thing. I was like, fuck y'all for like being, like living in a time this where thing? You could do this. I like, fuck y'all for being younger than me and being able to be more open. But then now, obviously, like that was a very short-lived moment. And then I'm like, okay, like this is actually really cute. But
it's gaggy too because, and I mean, since we already talked about it, I'm just gonna say this, like, as much as Dolce might feel this way, this is what's actually happening. Like, I'm watching stuff like this and it's different now to be in a situation where I can like relate to some of what's happening on the screen, which is so nice because I always felt like it was always gonna be, you know, like I would watch BLs, I'd watch K-dramas, I'd watch, you know, romance movies, and I'd think to myself like, oh, you know, like this is something that could happen to another type of person or something, or to someone who's like the person on the screen. But when you see yourself in certain positions and like you start to become involved with people who are of a higher standard than maybe what you've dealt with before, you're like, oh, like this isn't abnormal, this is new, this is what I should be like looking for, you know? And so it's great to see more of that in my life. And I just hope, like, as gay people, as queer people, like when we watch these, when we consume this type of media, we get to pick, like, we start picking and choosing what we want to actually see happen because we can actually believe for better versions of what we experienced.
We don't just get scraps, like, whatever they want to throw at us. We can actually, like, decide what we actually want to see.
So, we're going to do a little intermission. Let's let the girls, you know, talk for a second, and we will come right back with the main topic, WandaVision.
Well, hello. Hello. We're back. You know, we need a little bit of a reprieve. It's time to talk about everyone's favorite reality warping witch, Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. now. Oh, just spoiler alert for any of you faggots listening that fully are just listening and just did not watch the show. You are fully getting spoilers right now. So you got like 5 seconds.
At this point, girl, like if you haven't watched WandaVision, like you are not shielded from these fucking spoilers. Like you cannot survive on social media barely after like a week after the fucking show drops, let alone where we are now. If you haven't watched it, girl,
this ain't shielded anymore. The reason I watched the damn show right away is because of y'all niggas on Twitter. Okay.
True.
To y'all Dolce's in my phone. Cause like, I really was gonna let that shit sit. Cause I was like, what the hell is that? Like, not in a bad way, but I was like, I don't even have a Disney Plus subscription right now. Like, let me watch my other shit. Ooh. But I ended up buying it for the show. So.
Yeah. I'm just using my father's cause, you know, he purchased it to watch. And I said, yes, queen, you know, watch.
Okay, but. With Link.
It's not, it's family only, I'm sorry.
Fair.
APIA blood only. Mud bloods, all that.
Bye. Not mud bloods. Not you filthy mud bloods. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh, so today we're going to be talking about WandaVision, and I wanted to kind of like intro into this with asking the question of what we knew about Wanda Maximoff or WandaVision in general prior to the show. Like, any teasers and spoilers or things that you may or may not have seen prior, like, any of that. How did you all feel going into this?
I mean, I watched and came into the show purely on being gay and loving female heroes. Because I am not a Marvel girly at all, bitch. I can't even tell you the last time I watched a Marvel movie. Actually, that's a lie. I saw Endgame.
Did you saw Endgame alone without any prior movies?
I've seen like bits and pieces of like some of the movies before. I've seen all the Iron Man. I've seen the Incredible Hulk. I've seen Thor 1 and 2.
Ew.
You know, like, I've seen, like, the, like, individual standalone movies. Some of them. Some of them.
This camera action right now is
right? I am getting red. And the thing is, I wasn't going to watch it because, like, I knew that, like, okay, like, this is not just a standalone show. It's, like, you know, a continuation of things and, like, all that kind of stuff. But then one of my very good friends told me that I needed to watch the show for other reasons aside from the fact that it's part of the Marvel storyline. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I will. And from the first episode, I was like, okay, there's something different going on here. And obviously, like, I love fucking Elizabeth Olsen. So, like, she's giving, and yeah, like, that's how I kind of got into it. But before I started watching the show, I did not really know anything about, maybe about Wanda. Like, I knew, like, things in the universe, I knew certain people, but, like, I did not know anything about Wanda before I started watching the show. Or Vision.
Okay.
So I was kind of like, okay, WandaVision's about TV, but then, like, it's obviously a play on words as well, so. Yeah.
For me, I wouldn't call myself an MCU head or anything like that, because I don't keep super up-to-date headcanon on all of the Marvel universe, but I am invested in Marvel. I prefer it over DC. I've always liked the Marvel IP more than the DC IP personally. And so when it comes to, like, the latest Marvel movies and the stuff like this, especially when Netflix was big, like, I was really, really into it at that point. So I kind of wax and wane as far as my, like, investment in the material, but I know about, you know, the Scarlet Witch, I know about some of the backstory and what's been happening in the movie universe, and I also always loved her powers. I thought they were, like, badass, and I always wanted to sort of see them explore that more in cinema. So I had WandaVision on my list, but I think for me, I wasn't as clear on the genre of what it was trying to be. And so that's why it wasn't high up on my list. I wasn't sure if it was going to, like, be up to, you know, the same, especially because it's a Disney pick, you know, it was a Disney production. I just didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. Frankly. That does impact a lot of people's intro into the show, because WandaVision and, like, Loki and the Falcon, like, these new television series spinoffs are essentially going to be branching out into the brand new take that Marvel's going on. So, of course, you had the first segment, which was them establishing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and creating the Avengers and all of that, and then it led up to Endgame. Now we're going to be getting a whole new batch, which I'm going to talk about at the end. I just love these hands. Like, it's just so hard being this beautiful. Like, you don't understand. Anyway, oh my God. So, yeah, like, they're starting up a whole new segment of the Marvel Universe, and, like, Wanda being confirmed as the Scarlet Witch. I mean, that's the first big thing. We should just get into that. Like, how do we feel about, like, that sickening moment of just only the witch who casts the runes can use her powers? Like, oh my God. Oh, like,
we're getting all the way into it. Like, not we're the use, like, of confirmed.
We just need to get into it. Just get into the energy. Like, get into her.
Okay, so again, I didn't know anything about, I mean, Julio probably knew more about, like, the Scarlet Witch and, like, her powers and shit before, but, like, as that was happening, and I was just talking about this the other day, like, we didn't really get a lot of, like, seeing Agatha being, like, the evil bitch, like, for very long, like, and I, like, would have really gagged to see her, like, evil, like, for longer, because I feel like we only got, like, 2 episodes of her being, you know, I don't know what her title is, but, like, a witch. And I was, like, ready to see that. But the way that fucking Wanda just, like, picks up the fact that, like, you know, runes, like, only witches that, like, cast of runes can use their spells within it. Like, she learned that shit from fucking Agatha, like, 2 seconds ago. And then she fucking uses it on, like, a fucking macro scale against her. I was, like, kind of shook. I was like, damn, bitch, you are a smart cookie. Like, damn, okay. No, she really ate that up.
It's funny because as I was doing some side research on the characters, because I was familiar with the Scarlet Witch, but not Agatha Harkness as much. But apparently, in various versions of the MCU of the Marvel comic, she was at times her teacher. So it's actually kind of funny to see her kind of, like, in that moment teaching her. And so I wonder if her character will become more important later on as they develop the series, especially because they chose not to kill her off. So yeah. I'm actually excited to see how that continues.
Yeah, I love so far. Like, just that reveal to me was probably the most amazing thing I've seen in a long time in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, of course, the big moment of the Avengers assembling versus, like, Thanos' army was a huge thing. But this power reveal, I don't have the... I don't know. I can't pull from the well of anger I used to pull from anymore, where I want to be the Phoenix and destroy everything.
But so wait, just to confirm, do you not want to be the Phoenix anymore, or is this still something like a B plot?
That's
just
I don't want to get into this.
Because that's canon for the show. That's show canon.
I know. I told Angel yesterday, not yesterday, a couple of days ago, I was like, Angel, like, I don't feel like I can pull... Whatever that energy is, the cosmic force I was pulling from, I have no more attachment to her. I just don't feel anger. Like, I was talking about the Latinx girls the other day, and I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, whatever. I don't feel anger.
Not the Latinx girls are spared now.
What type of talking? What type of conversations were we having?
No, we were talking... Well, we were talking about the boys love shit and the Filipinos, and I was like, oh, they're, you know, I don't... You know, the Spanish girls, they really did fuck over the Philippines, and it's nice to see brown boys on screen and, you know, all that shit. And then Angel was like, so, but you're still, like, interested in, like, dating, you know, the Latinx boys and shit like that. And I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, it's fine. You know, I'm things the one happen. Who said,
I've been saying this for years.
And I was like, oh, it's all in the past. Like, you know, these things happen and we can move forward and do better things. Like, that's where I'm at right now, narrative wise. But who knows? I might have a Scarlet Witch moment and, you know, cast a whole ass sex. Because I'm annoyed as shit. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, so to be continued then on that one.
To be continued. So, like I was saying, it was sickening to see Wanda, like, serve up a look of coming to this realization of being this all-powerful being. And even though she doesn't understand the lore of it yet, and neither do we, because we haven't gotten a chance to read the Darkhold or understand where that magic is coming from, it's a nice introduction for the show because it just sets up so much. You have the new Doctor Strange film coming out, having Scarlet Witch be a part of this and having a whole magical realm allows for characters like Captain Britain to be a thing. It allows for a lot of other magic-based characters, Mephisto, to come in. It means that Azazel, who is Nightcrawler's father, can be a thing in this now because it establishes the hell and regular plane realms and things like that. It just sets up so much for the future, and I think that leads into the direction of the show. I think the MCU and Disney are really doing well working together because I didn't expect a show like this from them.
Yeah, there's some excellence happening. I'm gonna say that. Like, I don't want to say it's perfect because I haven't. I won't lie to you. Watching this show was so fun that I couldn't even do it with my normal, like, evil headmistress, like, you know, nitpicky eye that I usually have on. Like, I had to put that to the side for a moment and just enjoy myself. Because it was just fun.
It's a fun show.
She was picking up a couple items from the store. She was on her way back.
She had her reusable bags.
Right. She's never not working. Food. That girl is always working. She just was. Right. She was just, you know, elsewhere. But I will be excited to see how this develops, and I will probably revisit the show after having watched it the first time and be a little bit more analytical the second time around. But there's just so much good stuff happening.
I've already rewatched the show because it's so good. And honestly, I've watched multiple, like, episodes, like, multiple times. Like, I am so, like, I love the third episode of the show, which is the one where she initially finds out that Monica is, like, kind of, like, intruding, and she, like, kicks her out. Like, the one where she gives birth. So, like, that specific episode, I don't know why. Maybe it's because of, like, the music. The one thing that I really did love about it and what made it so much fun for me is, like, and very Disney, is, like, the soundtracks. Like, they...
Yes.
Like, that was probably, like, one of my favorite parts of the show is how they, like, kind of tied that all together. That was really cool. And, like, and so funny because when I was listening to a lot of them, I was like, it sounds so familiar. And I was like, why does this shit sound so familiar? And then I look, and I finally find all the songs on Spotify because, you know, the girls were really going up for Agatha all along. Like, I feel like that shit charted on the fucking Billboard charts because the girls were really, like,
standing worthy content. It. Yeah.
But when I looked it up, I realized I recognized some of the names on the credits, and the people who composed most of the music on the show also did Frozen. They were on Broadway doing, like, Avenue Q and Moana. Like, a lot of Disney shit, like real Disney shit, hot girl Disney shit. So like, I was just like, okay, this makes so much sense. Like, why I'm obsessed, because like, I've loved all of their shit from the past. So like, the fact that, like you said, Julio, that like, they're working, or no, I forget which one yet.
We all agree they're working well together.
But like, they're all working well together. Like, it's a great kind of like symbiosis of like moments. And I think like all the resources that Disney has just made it like 10 times better.
It's not only that, they were smart as hell. Like, what I thought was so smart was that Disney Channel, Disney, Miss Disney, the multimedia corporation everyone knows of, found a way to inject that their roots into an origin story about a critical Marvel character. Like, there's something very smart from, I think, like a story writing perspective, when you manage to put like multiple references together in such a way that it feels natural and seamless. This whole, oh, you know, Wanda really loved like the, you know, 50s and 60s television, and that's why she's creating this like sort of I Dream of Jeannie meets, you know, I Love Lucy meets all of these other iconic television moments in her perfect ideal world, which is an escape from the world she really lives in, where everything's fucked up. It's like the perfect meeting place between Disney, which is essentially, for a lot of people, that like wholesome family television network, and the Marvel Universe, which has traditionally been gritty for no fucking reason and ridiculous and scary and honestly very dark. And so taking that darkness and mixing it with that sort of lighthearted but also eerie and impossible perfection of the Disney brand, I think is exactly what they were trying to accomplish with this. And that's what I think made it so on point. The fact that they just hit the fucking nail on the head. And I was also like, I don't know about y'all, but like, when I was growing up, after Disney Channel stopped, I would watch like the Buena Vista Pictures and like Zorro and all in the original Mickey Mouse Club and stuff, like the old school shit. And this made me think of that. This, it made me feel like it was kind of like my origin story with Disney. So the way that they were able to marry those two things and make it still feel like it was a part of the overall MCU was just like legendaric, honestly.
Yeah. We're making it up to as we go along through the highs and the lows. You don't understand. That Full House opening really sent me. I actually cried. I was like, wow, this is just too much.
You know, energy. Ariana Grande was mad, bitch. She said, thank you next. Really?
Right?
She said, thank you next. Really?
I mean, girl, those openings were just so good, to the point that I was like, I heard Caputo singing in her vocal fry in the other episode, that WandaVision song. But let me tell you, I was bopping.
WandaVision. That is my favorite. The way I've played that song out so many times, like,
it's okay. But what was our favorite era? What were our favorite eras?
I think
The Office. The Office.
The Office.
Yeah. Literally, when she sat there and the producer said, "So do you feel like you deserve it?" She said, "You're not supposed to talk." Like,
oh, no, yeah, that was funny.
That was me talking to myself.
That was giving me like a real like kind of like Modern Family moment, mainly because Wanda reminded me of like the mom who's like kind of like neurotic and like her life is always falling apart. That it just like reminded me like so much of that, because I was like, damn, like that was the point where she was really like, I don't care how much this is all falling apart around me, like I'm still gonna pretend like everything's fine. And that just like gave me so much like, right, like The Office and like Modern Family moment, just like everything's fucked up, but like we're okay. we're all good.
It's nasty what they were able to accomplish. Like, her growing in, there was the stages of grief map, right? There, like, if you could have literally mapped out every single one of those moments to a stage of grief, there was literally the whole conversation about her growing as a mother and as a family member and as a wife. Yeah. There's her growing in her frustration and in her inability to sustain and hold on to this model of reality that she was forcing on herself and on everyone around her. There was just so much, like, it's just layer on layer. Like, I feel like this is somebody's fucking, like, you know, master's thesis in film or something. Like, who fucking submitted this shit? Where is it?
Yeah, stage of the 5 stages of grief where she kicked out Monica. I rewatched it, and me and you, Julio, had talked about it, and I was like, Monica is essentially that friend who finally speaks up and says, I care about you, I need to let you know. Like, after they help you throughout everything, she helped her give birth and everything and got her kids. At the end, she's like, okay, this is a moment for me to speak up and tell you that I care about you, but here's something wrong. And then, of course, it was the immediate anger response from Wanda of, like, I can't deal with this. Get the fuck out. And she kicked her out of that world in the most sickening way possible. And I said, that's anti-black violence, but also it's sickening.
Okay, yes. It really was. And her being, like, corralled away by her toxic Agatha friend, like, I'm like, who hasn't seen this girl? Like, the girl finds a new groove. She finds the girls who are just enabling her, and they pull her out of her actual circle. And this thing is, like, breaking, literally breaking through her walls. And you know what's so funny? Going back to that idea of Monica being sort of like this loving, outside, benevolent friend person who's really trying to force her way into Wanda's life to help her and to pull her out of her depression, right? If we talk about it in that way, it's crazy how they even went so far as to explain how every time Monica made that transition from her world into this world, she became different. She became in some ways stronger, but in other ways damaged and not herself. And that, I think, is a really good parallel to what happens to those around us who over time do their best to, like, pull us out of our hard spaces or out of our lonely places, because they themselves, I think, encounter our darkness and encounter aspects of us that are, like, hard to deal with. And that is painful, you know?
I agree. I've had moments like that where I was the Wanda and, like, honestly, I had, actually, should I even talk about this? Like, I had a friend who lived with me in my apartment, and when I think back, like, this recent therapy session, I was talking about my experience in university, and, like, the person I lived with, long story short, as toxic as that person was, I was also extremely toxic in my own world, and coming from a shut-in background, like, doing social things with that person and trying to fake happiness at that time was not helping. And our friendship dissolved later because I continued to do those toxic actions later. And I realized that as the Wanda, as much as I might feel like I was right in pretty much every single moment, if you really look back in a completely different mindset, you can really see, like, here are the building blocks for where my downfall was coming. And if someone had really just slapped me and said, here's what's really going on, sis, like, you need to have a reality check, it would have saved a lot of time, it would have saved a lot of relationships, and it would have saved me a lot of almost self-hatred, which I think is the part that Wanda had, like, to almost towards the end, where she was starting to kind of hate herself for what she was doing, and that self-hatred wasn't in her. It was coming through the people around her that she was controlling, and those people were telling her, like, this is what you're doing to me. This is what you're, my child hasn't seen me in days. She's been in a room this whole time, and you're essentially just cutting people off and filtering your emotions through other people. That was another big thing. Like, her essentially, like, throwing her emotions into other people, and it was projecting. She was literally projecting all of her denial, her anger, her hatred, like, everything about it was being filtered through these people. And it was messy when one of the people were like, yeah, we see your nightmares in our dreams.
No, they were begging for death.
Show was actually a projection, literally, onto a television screen. Like, how meta is that? They're literally they're painting the whole fucking picture. It's right there. Like, this is just a huge exercise in Wanda taking everything inside and literally projecting it on the world outside and around her.
But being,
anything in her reach, anything within miles of her, became what she wanted it to be, needed it to be to continue.
Being the Wanda, though, like, it means you have to be somewhat, like, deluding yourself. And that kind of happens when you deal with trauma. Is like, you actually, like, kind of pushed so far out of your mind that it almost didn't even really happen. And that's kind of, like, the biggest thing about watching the TV show and how she can even just, like, say, no, I don't want that to happen, and just go back. Like, that's essentially, like, her in her mind being like, okay, like, so this isn't going how it's supposed to go, and I can feel the negative thoughts and, like, my reality, like, slowly creeping in, and I'm just going to, like, actively ignore it. Because I feel like the whole time, I feel like she really didn't know what was going on. Even though she didn't know the full extent of, like, you know, these people are literally, being tortured 24/7. Maybe she didn't know that because they're separate people. But she knew, like, what she was doing. And later on in the show, when Vision starts to call her out on it, she gets angry because she's like, bitch, like, don't try and check me. Like, don't try and check me on this, bitch. Like, I've been doing this for weeks. You just found out what I was doing. So don't try and end it now. Like,
not I've been doing this for weeks.
Like, see, I've been doing this for weeks and you were none the wiser, bitch. So why are you getting all smart now? Like, don't.
Oh, no. Oh, I mean, they did clarify one thing for the audience just for the sake of, I think they did this to make it so that we didn't see her as actually evil, maybe just super flawed. But they explain that the way her magic works is that it creates kind of almost on its own. Like, she doesn't actually have to orchestrate every detail of its power or even, like, devise a spell that specifically states how she wants it to operate. Mm-hmm. It is, like, pure creation directed by her will. So there's a sense in which I think she still gets to operate as a character from the storytelling standpoint as someone who is so wrapped up in what they're doing that they're not actually aware of the damage they're causing until they are. And then there's that hump that you have to get over when you confront her, where she needs to actually not deny it and accept that she's done wrong. Right. It's like a slight tweak there.
Yeah. The acceptance phase of the five stages was interesting, because that whole last two episodes was acceptance. And what I really liked was that, honestly, Agatha was the facilitator of that acceptance. She literally put Wanda in a chair in a therapy session and was like, we are going on this journey, and it's not gonna be me who tells you what you need to do. You need to just go through it yourself. And when she was like, come on, Wanda, you're right there. You're on the precipice. Like,
I hated that.
Yeah. I hated it because it was such tea. I've heard my therapist say that before, and I hate that. I hate when you're, like, right there, and it's on the tip of your tongue, and you don't want to admit what they're trying to get out of you. But it is extremely important that after denial, after bargaining, after anger, after all that, you need to verbalize what you've actually done, accept it, so that there can be a turnover, because there will be no turnover unless you, like, verbally say, okay, here is X, I did Y, so it has created Z solution. You know,
it's gaggy because I think it's easy for us to say, oh, well, Wanda is a good, like, she's a hero, she's a superhero, so, like, she obviously made a lot of stupid decisions and she should have done it this way or that way. But, like, realistically, she went through a very, like, I don't want to say reasonable, but I think she went through the same process we all go through. Just the scale of the damage caused by it is so much larger because of the world she's in and because of the power that she obviously holds as a character. So I think it's so easy to make the mistake of maybe, like, judging what's happening on screen by the results, as opposed to looking at how true that is for all of us on an individual level. Like, you are in your process hurting others or perhaps projecting on your environment. And that's not a crime. That's not something that's evil. It's just something that is. And then I think that because we start to that's what's great about TV and about, I think, good stories, is that they reveal something about us. Like, if you see this in yourself, you can see that in other situations, other people who are maybe frustrated or difficult or who are providing some form of, or who have hurt you in some way, could potentially be going through something similar. And I think that there's, like, an opportunity for maybe a little bit of empathy all around, right? Because just as much as Wanda had every reason to be as fucking upset as she was, and they literally made the entire story all about her up until basically the very end, where they revealed that everything she had done had hurt everyone else too, but they also showed how, like, she was able to kind of get why they were mad at her at the same time. But she couldn't really do anything about that. Yeah. She's like, fuck, yeah, shit, here I am. I mean, but also,
her walking through the square at the very end with the hoodie on, like, what else do you do? Like,
nothing.
What else do you do? Yeah, like, there's nothing else to do. You leave. You fucking fly away.
I was looking for a scarlet letter, girl. I was looking for a scarlet letter. Where is it, girl?
You literally just fly away, bitch. That's all you can fucking do at this point.
Like, so do you two, both of you, question, do you both feel like they held Wanda accountable at the end of it? Like, she was held accountable for her actions other than being arrested?
No.
Okay. Why?
I mean, was she arrested?
No, because who's going to arrest her?
Right, that's the problem.
Check her,
boo. Right. I think that's, and this is where the, like, headmistress comes back, and she has a couple things she wants to say. Like, for instance, why does white woman, why is all her grief and trauma being levied upon the world? And all we get is a black woman in an afro trying to tell her she's still a good person. So I great. Felt like that was a problem. Like, Doshe and I spoke about this, and she knows how I feel. Like, there's more to this. There's probably another episode we could have done on this, and I don't want to sully the moment by, like, going into it, but there is clear... Whenever you bring race and you bring queerness and you bring other things into it, there's always problems, right?
Yeah.
But if we remove that somehow by the grace of whoever the fuck, then it's... I don't want to, like, center it too much, but it's there. Like, yeah. She was not actually held accountable by society in a way that impacted her status. And I think that that's what we need to realize happens when you have privilege. And privilege can be your skin tone, but it can also be your fucking, you know, creation magical powers that make it impossible for the world to hold you down, bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
And honestly, she was not oppressed in any way after the end of that.
They also gave her a lot of leeway in that way to kind of just go off on her own, because she has no idea how to control that magic. Like, she has that book, I forget what it's called, but because she was reading that shit floating up in that room at the end of that little credit sequence.
So we gonna talk about that now?
So she's definitely learning and reading and reviewing the texts, but she doesn't necessarily know how to control it all. And even like Agatha was saying that, like, you really like don't know what you've done. Like, you are actually going to like just destroy the world. That's your prophecy, is to destroy everything.
So the chapters that they're going to be doing later, my favorite part of the Marvel Cinema, not Marvel Cinema, my favorite Marvel comic and the story is of House of M, where she essentially has her twins, but then they die and you find out Dr. Doom was behind it all. And at one point, me and Angel were sitting on the couch and she was like, no, like, I just, no more. And I was like, no more what, bitch? Because in the comics, she's like, no more mutants. And she wipes out every single mutant, like, basically an entire universe. And she does the Thanos, but she's the Thanos. Like, she's the Infinity Stones in the House of M comic. And she wipes the whole universe of mutants due to her psychological breakdown after losing her twins. And it just... it throws everything off. She creates an entirely different multi-universe at some point as well. Like, completely different from Earth 616. And, like, she kills off so many characters. There are even characters who, like, of course, Jean Grey, Xavier. There's a lot of them that just die. Fully Omega-level mutants. Just killed off like that. So sickening.
That's the scary part, too. Is, like, yeah, we don't hold her accountable. And also, she's just left to her own devices. Where, like, if anything traumatic... relatively traumatic happens to her.
No,
like, people are going to die. Like, if there's no more oat milk for her spiced latte, like, girl, she will be killing everyone.
Okay, you're really attacking me now. You're coming for me, so I'm the Scarlet Witch. Because we all know you don't separate Julio from the oat milk, bitch.
Bitch.
Okay,
and,
bitch.
And there's a shortage in the country right now.
There's a shortage!
There's no more oat milk or chicken wings, bitch.
You know, I don't even go up to Starbucks anymore and say, oh, you know, I say, do you have oat milk? I literally start my orders like that because every other day it's a different answer and I need to know what my options are today.
I feel that. I feel it.
Not me, but at the club with Julio, like, oh my God, her eyes are glowing red. Bartender, can you please just give her something. Give me anything. Just give me anything.
Can you get oats and some water? We'll figure it out.
Right.
We will milk them oat titties right now, okay? But
you got brain.
I'm literally oat milk supremacist in the chat right now.
Right. I got my full... Julio's over there with eyes red. Me in a full Amish outfit. Girl, I'm gonna make this oatmeal. Girl,
I'm about to churn these oats, bitch. However.
We love allies. We love stands. Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's just your Scarlet Witch powers.
I mean, I will be activated. Like, if I was some sort of Marvel hero or something, or like that would be a trigger. That's an acceptable trigger. That's an what is it? Relatively inconvenience. What was the term Caputo used? Because I gagged.
Relatively traumatic experience.
If they don't get the manager, fuck all mutants.
Oh, bitch, they're all
right. Dead. Where are the mutants?
Where are they?
Where are the mutants?
I think just to kind of, you know, touch that line one more time, like, it is relevant that, you know, this is an example of privilege, I think, operating. And it's not the most important theme in the story. It's not something I think that needs to derail how much entertainment value you get from the story, but it is relevant to talk about what it means when people try to hold you accountable but actually can't. That's actually a relevant factor in not only Wanda's story, but her ability to overcome what happens to her, right? The fact that she can't actually just be locked up in a cell where they throw away the key, that changes what happens next for her. And that's important to consider even in real life, where there are people who make decisions that impact other people and there's no accountability, there's no, you know, blocks in their path afterwards. That is relevant.
They do filter. I mean, the mutants in general were filtered through the whole lens of, like, you know, blackness and the civil rights era. And, you know, of course, the Xavier time after time, you know, the Xavier and Magneto conversation of Malcolm X versus, like, Martin Luther King. So it's not outside of the realm of thought that maybe the writers did put this as a, not Easter egg, but as a point that her powers are technically her privilege. And it is something where whiteness can create opportunities out of nothing. And you don't even deserve the opportunity. It just happens.
And even your small issues are big issues for everyone else now.
And also, that too. Also, too, the only thing that she really had to give up at the very end of it were the things that she built up herself. Like, she She created her family and her home and her perfect life. All she had to do was give it up. And then she got to go on off on her own and leave the path of destruction behind. But, like,
that's nasty.
All she had to do was say, okay, I, like, invented my kids out of nothing, and all I had to do was just give them up. And they weren't even real to begin with. So I'm like, girl.
Not even the fact, if you think about the fact that literally Wanda lived on a fucking plantation. Miss Girl had everybody around her working to upkeep her lifestyle. No, but, like, literally, if you think about it, the fact that she had the girls upkeeping and holding on and promoting her lifestyle and literally making it possible with their pure labor, in some cases being unable to take care of their own children, girl. Like, how analogous is this to real life? Like, it's kind of nasty and ridiculous, but Caputo with her fucking beret and Black Panther look on just, like, took me there.
And the fashion, like, knowing
Fashion Nova Black Panther rap dress took me there.
Girl.
Because, I mean, it's tea, though.
It is tea. I mean, and she is, like, a white woman in all of this. And it's just, like, there's so many aspects of WandaVision where you can tell, like, she just is, like, a white woman with all this, like, like, even the fact that, like, Monica's essentially, like, her sidekick with, like, no other purpose, like, in, like, the
but first to make
beginning
her
episodes and to, like, help her through her shit. Like, because she has, I don't know much about Monica, but I know she has a big role in you know, the larger universe. She has a backstory. She has her mother. She has, now she's actually a mutant now, or a mutate or something like that.
Yeah, mutate.
Now she's enhanced.
Right. So now she's got a whole other thing going for her. But the only thing that she was really doing in the show was, like, oh, I need to help Wanda. Like, Wanda needs all this help, and, like, I need to save her.
She was giving me serious mammy magical Negro vibes.
Oh no,
it really was. No, it's true.
It's true.
And it's not. And the thing is, it's mean to say, but it's not irrelevant. It's actually not irrelevant.
It isn't.
That a black woman whose mother just passed literally is expending all of her emotional labor on this white lady who's destroying the world. It's stupid. It's kind of weird.
That was so weird. I thought it was so strange. And, like,
it is kind of weird.
Because, again, like, I didn't know. I'm sure, like, because also, like, in WandaVision, when you go into the actual, like, world, and, like, you're kind of thrown into, like, the, like, everyone's coming back from, you know, the snap and the hospital. At that point, like, I was like, someone please explain this to me, because I don't know what the fuck's going on. It felt like I was thrown onto a moving train. But, like, obviously there was shit that she had gone through. She finds out her mom is dead and that, like, she's been gone for 3 years and all this fucking shit. And then immediately it's like, okay, well, I have to go help Wanda. Like, Wanda needs my help. And, like, I'm just like, it's just like a snap.
Right, like, she didn't even go to church. You could have gone to church, and visited the pastor.
And then, literally.
She could have visited her home church first, at least.
And she brings up her mom and her trauma, but only to help Wanda figure out, like, oh, I know how it is to lose people you love, and da-da-da. Like, it wasn't even her processing that. It was like, hey, Wanda, I know you can, you know, use this little anecdote. So let me give it to you real quick. And I'm like, okay, girl. Like,
it's literally giving slay, you, okay, baby. Okay, baby, you know, I'll just let you know. It's giving. That's what it's giving. It's giving black mother no reference to her own family or what they need or what that's going on. She is in this white lady space giving her every resource she needs to overcome her trauma. Meanwhile, the end battle scene, which I actually had a lot of issues with this. I was talking to somebody about this. Like, this final battle, where is Monica? You don't even get to see her shine. Like, it's literally this white woman and all her like toys fighting this other white lady. It's like two white ladies fighting and everybody is dying in the process. Like, it was very, very strange in that regard.
Isn't that how the political system works anyway? It's always two white women fighting somewhere. I mean, I don't want to derail, you know, this. I'm going to say something very, very messy, but this Black Power meeting. But,
Two out of the two Black women in the chat.
The only two Black women in the chat. So, I understand the sentiments and I get it. It definitely should be another episode where we do something like this. But I will say that the only thing that I really had a problem with was that, you know, the MCU has... They've introduced Monica, but we're not seeing the Monica that I know. Like, the Monica in the comics, who was essentially the first Captain Marvel. She was extremely powerful. Like... I mean, she can change her entire body into energy. Her nickname was Living Lightning. Like, she has so much power in the comics. And then she ends up passing Captain Marvel down to the actual white woman who took up Captain Marvel later. And then Rogue fucked her up. But that's a whole other plot line. But, like, we didn't get to see that power. And I wanted to see it. But this is the setup. So I'm giving the MCU and these writers the benefit of the doubt because the show was just so good overall that I think that they're going to really give Monica the flowers she deserves, which is a fully realized story that they've set up from now. So, like, she takes over S.W.O.R.D. Her mom made S.W.O.R.D. She has this weird relationship now with Captain Marvel. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but when they mentioned her, Monica was not happy. And of course, there was that, like, hinted at, you know, full lesbian relationship, which brings me into my other topic. There's a lot of queer subtleties in this show right now.
Yeah, but I'm tired of queer subtlety.
Now, mind you, that's because of Disney. Part of that is because of Disney. But I think that the future for the MCU looks really bright for queerness because, of course, we have Wiccan, which is... Wanda's son, Tommy, who is a gay superhero, part of the Young Avengers in the comic books.
Who's gotten a lot of media attention for being gay, even in the last couple of years.
Yeah, but also because he got a lot of really good story. I mean, he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme at some point after in some of the universes taking over after Doctor Strange. He's extremely powerful. He has Hulkling as his boyfriend, and that relationship is really cute. And, It's great overall. Like, I'm not mad at Wiccan. And it opens up with the future of the MCU that now that Wiccan and Speed are part of it, the Young Avengers can take over. You know, the MCU has a legacy now with your previous team, minus Black Widow. But we're not going to talk about the ultimate Asian actress. Yeah, the ultimate Asian actress. Yes, ma'am. Scarlett Johansson.
Asian actress, actress supreme. The original Asian girl.
The original Pangean girl. That I have nothing. I have nothing but Scarlett Johansson.
Brown skin girl.
Okay. Yes. Skin bitch. Just like pearls. Skin literally.
Just like pearls, bitch. You didn't know that Scarlett Certainly. Johansson is a Filipina queen girl. Asian and brown, bitch.
You I'm just seeing box her. Braids. All I see is box braids. Honestly.
Right. Yeah. Kamustaka. So anyway. So how to like to wrap this up. What are some things that maybe you both want to see in the future now that we're at this point and we have Loki and the Falcon and Wanda now as this, like, basically brand new sorceress? Like, what do you guys want to see in the future from MCU? Oof.
Well, okay, I'll go first because, like, I'm probably, like, the least, like, familiar with the universe in general, so I'll probably have the shortest answer, but... I honestly, since watching WandaVision, it is like kind of a little bit of reinvigorated my interest in the universe because I'm not an action movie girl, but I do love comics. So like the fact that like there was, I just fell off. It was kind of like that one, like watching Empire, you know, like you like miss one episode and then you never watch an episode ever again. Like, it was kind of like that. I, like, missed one movie, and I just, like, fell off and didn't watch any of them until, like, you know, the Avengers started coming out, and I was like, okay, let me, like, get back into her. So now I'm kind of like, do I have to, like, revisit these movies so I kind of understand a little bit more? But because, honestly, like, this has been not even, like, one of my favorite, like, things to come out of the Marvel Universe, but just in general, like, shows. Like, one of, in the past few years, like, the most I've enjoyed watching a TV show. I can say hands down. It's been so great. They put so much thought into it, and you can tell the intention by everything that they did. And I thought that was really fucking great. So now I'm a little bit more invested. I haven't been watching the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show, but I have heard that has been really good too. And again, like Disney, you know, they put the pedal to the metal and the money where it needs to be. So I'm sure it's great as well. So I just want to see, I want to see Monica get more shit, you know, get more storyline, get more development that has nothing to do with white women. And period. I would love to see
Impossible. Captain Marvel's white.
Oof. Okay, so yeah, again,
Monica might be the new Captain Marvel.
Ooh. I would like that. Yes, I would definitely like that.
Bloop. So I want that, and I also do want to see what happens to Wanda, because I think she's a sickening bitch, even though she's a domestic terrorist or whatever. So
yeah, she is a war criminal.
But, she's a war criminal, domestic terrorist.
She's everyone's new favorite war criminal. Right. Move over, Obama.
She's like Obama. Right. Exactly.
Move over. She's giving, girl.
She's giving you Hillary Clinton. Like, come on, bitch. Like, Benghazi? What? Like, come on.
She's here. She's to be feared. I mean, what is the problem?
Where are the emails, Wanda? Where are the emails?
Wanda has every email.
Where are the emails, girl? Okay, yeah, so that's what I want.
She's not even a citizen. Honestly, for me, I know I'm just sounding like, you know, Miss, you know, I don't know, Pan-African queen right now, but I'm actually really wanting to see what happens next with the Black Panther universe. I really mm-hmm. need to see how they progress that. I'm hoping it's a female lead. I'm hoping Shuri takes the helm or something along those lines. If not, that's fine. But I really need to see that story move forward, and I need to see how it interacts with this storyline and if there's anything really cool happening there. So that's what I'd want. And then after Black Panther, I'm actually here for Wiccan and you know, the young Hulk. I'm here for that. That's what I need to see. And then and shortly thereafter, honestly, just I want more queer, openly queer, in relationships, seeing relationships play out on screen. I want normalcy. I want just like regular ass people who are not all straight and white moving around on the screen who happen to be powered. That's what I want to see.
Okay. I mean, these are things that can happen. I guess for me, I am very excited because even though we've seen them before, I would like to see what the MCU is going to do with them. I want to see the Fantastic Four. That is like one of the flagship girls that Marvel came out with first.
Girl, yeah. Jessica Alba is mad right now.
Okay, but I would love to actually. She did well as the Invisible Woman. I think her Susan Storm was was actually really great. They just
had issues with that, though.
Did you? Why?
Not with her, but with some of the... We'll talk about it another day.
Yeah, okay. So then I want to see the Fantastic Four because when Monica was talking about that machine that they built to ram it through Wanda's hex, she was like, oh, yeah, I have a friend, and, you know, he's an aerospace engineer. And I was like, wait, Reed Richards? Because Reed Richards is an aerospace engineer, and he works for S.W.O.R.D. at some point in the comics. So I was like, do you have connects to Reed Richards? Is this a plot point? Probably not. But, you know, it's just me and my comic book nerd ass, like, seeing things and hearing things and associating them. Of course, I want to see X-Men. Like, I don't really need to see the Phoenix again. I can't pull from her anymore. So, you know, that storyline's done for right now. I would love to see the House of M storyline. I want to see Matthew Malloy. I would like to see some of... I would love to see Cyclops and Havoc's brother Vulcan, who's like this basically the Omega level version of Superman. I want to see him. I want to see the Shi'ar. I would love if they could redo the Inhumans so that we can get a really budgeted Medusa hair wig, because that shit on CBS or CW or whatever the fuck was not cute. Yeah, there are a few things. Like, I'm a big fan of Marvel, and I stan, like, all the concepts that they put together. I love bitches with powers. I might not be as angry as I used to be, but it would be nice to be able to conjure some storms. Like, okay. Oh, mentioning conjuring some storms, I would like to see a Storm film. I would like to see it.
Okay, but who would it? Let's go. Come on, let's go.
But who would be her? that I think that's like the angel.
We've seen question. Storm not recently, but we've seen her. The problem is that they don't give Storm her flowers. Like, where's her main line? It's just me and my niggas movie. That would be a great place to take Wakanda. Let's take Wakanda there. Let's go there.
She was the queen of Wakanda. She was the wife, at one point.
Right? Like, wasn't she Black Panther's wife?
She was.
Let's go.
So,
ooh, I love that.
Yeah, I would love Wakanda to see Miss Storm being like, you know, Scott is taken over by the Shadow King, and there was a part in the comics where, like, he's flying in America over, like, being taken over by the Shadow King, going to go kill some people or whatever the fuck, and Storm is fully in Wakanda getting the intel, and they're like, yeah, Scott's gonna do this, blah, 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 blah. Storm's like, oh, really? He's on his way somewhere? Okay, give me a second. She, like, puts her hands in the air, feels some shit in the atmosphere. It pans in the next panel to Scott and the X-Jet. That shit gets shot down by lightning. Storm says, I handled it. This queen. This queen of Omega level power. This is the same woman who not only can basically control the atmosphere of Earth, but she can fight the Silver Surfer in space. A cosmic entity all by herself as a human woman, breathes air, can control the cosmic winds. Like, look at the material. Like, how could you ever?
It's fierce. We love it. Who is everyone's favorite superhero of all time? Like, if we had to just choose one, and I'm not talking about whose powers you want.
Yeah.
Who do you think is just a badass superhero you've always really appreciated and liked? Let's get Jean Grey out of the way, because I think both Dolce and I love Jean Grey, so let's just...
I'm going to be honest with you. I'll go first because it's probably surprising, but like, one of my favorite superheroes without powers is actually Batman, to be very honest with you.
Ooh.
Like, I'm not mad at his storyline. Yeah, okay, rich white man, blah, 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 blah. We got that out the way, you know. Black lives still matter, but, you know, I'm interested in that.
Disenfranchised criminals to the ground to a pulp. Yeah, okay, yeah, let's go off.
I mean, he didn't... It depends on the comic, but anyway... So, Batman has had, like, a really long, long, long legacy of definitely not killing people while doing his work. And he's made it essentially his mission to, like, not do that. Because for him, it separated his vigilante persona to someone who was essentially just like every other villain, which is, I can get what I want by inflicting violence upon people who can't stop me. And he understood those privileges and helped so many people with it. And also, he's very realistic about power checking. Like, he basically has a plan to kill everyone, including himself, of the Justice League, if it ever became a thing where they would turn on the planet. Like, he knows that I can turn just as much as anyone else. We might be heroes, but we are, so most of us are human, and we do have a sentience to be able to choose right and wrong. I should have a contingency plan for basically everything. I mean, you can't, I stand a non-superpowered person essentially being the most powerful character in his universe.
I mean, I think it's a testament to money being actually one of the most powerful superpowers you can have. In that's a comic, tea. Having unlimited, you know, resources is definitely a power. Mm. But I agree with you. He's pretty badass in that way.
Yeah.
What about you, Caputo?
Was this question for only Marvel superheroes?
No, any superhero. That was actually a DC superhero.
So I'm not like a big superhero person, but like, I did really, really love Teen Titans growing up. Like, I was so obsessed with Teen Titans. And I know we've all outed ourselves as, you know, anti DC, you know, Marvel girlies or whatever in the chat, but that was always my moment. And Raven was just like that bitch to me. Like,
you do love Raven.
I have always I just like telekinesis, like telekinetic powers, like psionic powers. Like, those are always like what I gravitate towards because it's just like so interesting, and like, I wish I had those powers. But like, she, like, her as a character too is just like really fucking awesome. And yeah, like, I would definitely want to be her for sure. Just her whole demeanor.
Just to interject, I am not anti-DC.
Same.
It's just Marvel has done something where they have created characters. This is a whole other episode, but I think Julio will agree is that DC is kind of these idolized versions of like old American tradition of like the Wonder Woman and the Superman, and like they don't have that much emotion behind them. There's no real characterization of them, and Superman's just kind of a Clark Kent. He comes in, flies, saves the day, that's it. And there wasn't really anything strong behind him. But you look at characters like Iron Man, you look at characters like Scarlet Witch, you look at Magneto. I mean, my God, like these are
Oh my God, Magneto.
These are some deep characters, and they have a story, and they're not all just straight up heroes. And, like, none of them are. And I think that that's something that DC is lacking, where it's like they're not, there's no investment in the characters. In Marvel, I feel like there is such depth and investment. But I do still stand DC.
I stand superhero. I like the superhero idea. I like taking what is human and elevating it and seeing what happens. So to me, the idea of a superhero or like a super story or a powered story is always more fun.
Yeah.
So I like it in general. That's why I would say I wouldn't say I'm shitting on DC, but I would say that for me, DC feels more like propaganda a lot of the time for American sentiment than Marvel does. Because Marvel, I mean, I grew up loving the X-Men because I saw, like, as a kid, I was like, you know, the headmistress was in the back of my head. She was a governess at the time. She wasn't a full headmistress. She was in the back of my head like, girl, those are niggas. That's niggas. That's like the whole civil rights conversation. And that was without me, nobody telling me shit. I just felt like it made sense that way to me very early. So for me, at least, like, I always saw that representation, even though it was slant. You know, obviously it was me projecting my blackness on the world around me where there was less of it. But that, I think that's why when I look at the two IP, I look at one and really prefer it most of the time. But when it comes to my favorite superhero, it is super, super hard. And it really is kind of Jean Grey, because she's the epitome of like telekinesis, master your mind, master the world around you, like conquer the self and you conquer the world kind of a storyline. But other than her, on Teen Titans, I really love Starfire. I just thought she was so bomb.
Yeah.
And I thought Starfire. She was like a brown baddie. Like, I just stan. I stan the whole concept of her character. And I love the, and I actually, like, love the stars. And I love, like, anything kind of, like, cosmic. And so I just thought she was, like, a really cool foil to Raven. And so I would say I probably enjoyed her the most outside of that.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad we were able to talk about this. This is, like, probably one of my favorite topics to go over. I love all things superhero, like you said, Julio. So this is just, like, this is the icing on the cake for me. I would love to talk about more of these. Maybe when they make more films, I can get into that. And we can get into the character I've always wanted to be, which is Franklin Richards, a person who at 6 months old created an entire universe in his hands. And I was just like, this is the person I want to be. Like, not 6 months old. I mean, I'm not mad at the time reversal, because I would like to go back a few years, because, you know, I'm 29 now. I think, you know, work. But yeah, I stand Miss Franklin.
We love that.
Anyway, yeah.
We love growth, okay?
In reverse.
In reverse. reverse growth.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This was a great episode. If you want to hear more, please, you know, reach out to everyone on social media. Obviously, I'm not on anymore, but I'll be making my return with a brand new wig, brand new body, and a brand new look, and a brand new tagline. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.